welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. This is Lottie, and I will be your host. So, today, well, let's start off being friendly, shall we? How are you doing today? Or tonight? Whatever time you're listening to this, I hope you're having a wonderful day, and doing something fun, feeling good. I am, sitting in my living room right now, and it's super sunny and nice, and it's like the perfect fall weather right now. And we just brought our plants in from outside so that they don't survive the cold. And it's like it's getting down to the next couple of nights, I think, or some night at one point, it's gonna get down to like 36 degrees, which is Fahrenheit, which is almost freezing. So it's like, whoa, suddenly it's fall. So we brought our plants inside, and it's really sunny, and so the sun's coming through the windows, and it's like hitting the plants, and it just feels really good. And I guess there was a little snail in one of the plant pots, because now there's a little snail in the window, and I'm just like, oh, my heart feels good, so I'm happy. Chelsea, our friend Lily, and I all went to Missouri yesterday and got tattoos, so I am one day post-tattoo, which, don't know about you, but for me it's like the worst day for tattoos because they just hurt on that day. I think it's because your skin is just going, what is happening? But I'm super happy with it. I love it. It was done by Mike at End Times Tattoo. Super great. Love it. Love the colours. It is a design done by my friend Sean at Gender Gems, who I listened back to my episode from last week. I try and listen back to my episodes just to make sure, like, there's nothing glaringly weird about them or anything, you know, or wrong. And I realised that I think it might be kind of hard to hear how I'm saying that, so I want to spell it out. Gender Gems is at, obviously, G-E-N-D-E-R-G-E-M-S. So, Gender Gems. Yeah, so it's a design that they did of some sage and then a crystal, and I love it. And so I had Mike do the crystal as a smoky quartz, and then, yeah, we coloured everything in, and I love it. And I'm really excited about it because I feel like it's going to be really good for me doing readings to have this, very protective kind of energy there. And Chelsea made an interesting point. She said, you know, it's good because it basically is right above my hands because it's on the inside of my wrist. And so it's going to like cleanse and ground the energy coming through my hands. And since I work with my hands in basically everything, it's going to really help keep the energy clear coming through my hands that I'm giving out and also that I'm bringing in, because you give and receive that way too. So I'm really excited about it. I love it. I want to post a picture later, but my arm is really swollen right now and not feeling super happy with me, so I might wait until it calms down a little bit. But yeah, apart from that, you might hear my voice being a little croaky. I have allergies. I thought I was getting a cold, and then I realised it's just allergies flaring up, which feels like having a cold, so that sucks. But it'll be alright. Once the weather kind of settles down, it'll be fine. But anyway, aside from that, I wanted to talk to you all today about some tips that I have for improving your tarot practice, no matter what level you are. So, I know. I don't really like using the word level because it feels weird to me. Like, I don't think someone that's just starting is like a better or worse thing than someone that has experience, you know? It's like, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, when I say level, I just mean what you think of yourself as. So are you a beginner? You know, do you have like a year's experience? Have you been reading for 10 years? You know, like, just level in that way. So these tips I think will be useful for anyone at any level to improve your tarot reading practice, to have fun with it, to discover new things. That's my hope for it. I find with tarot you always are learning something new. So yeah, it doesn't matter how long you've been reading. You could be reading for that 10, 20, 30 years. You'll still learn new things because You learn new ways to look at the cards. You learn new things from different clients will have different perspectives, and so you'll see different things in the cards, and over time the way you read will morph too, and you'll kind of take in different interpretations. And yeah, so it's, I love it. You're always learning with tarot. But I wanted to give some tips and tips and tricks, I guess. Just some practices, some things you could try to just broaden your practice and try a few different things and get some, you know, new experiences, see what you think about it. Okay, so I'm going to try and keep this episode shorter today too, partly because of my voice and also partly because last week was like an hour and a half, and I think that's just too long. It's too long for me anyway. So first tip is try reading for, okay, how do I want to do this? I'm like thinking of them. Okay. First things first. Okay. Try reading with just the major arcana and then just the minor arcana and see how it feels. So I would actually recommend to also do this with the same question. So, you know, ask a question, draw with the major arcana, and then ask the same question and draw the same amount of cards with the minor arcana. And then read both of them and see how you feel and what happens. So here's what I think would be the case. If you read with the major arcana, it's going to give you like the archetypal energies that you're going through right now. What are the big things that are happening? It's more of like a kind of macro scale, you know, a bigger scale of your whole life. And I think you can read for everyone with just the major arcana, because everyone at some point in everyone is always on their journey, right? So they're always gonna have certain themes from the major arcana that are playing out in their life. So you can always read for people with the major arcana, because it will always be possible to do that. And at the same time, we're human, we're living our life. So you'll always have minor arcana themes going on too. And so the way I read tarot is basically to think of the major arcana, the fool's journey, as the archetypal energies that everyone experiences, kind of like, you know, Jung's archetypes. Everyone experiences them at different points in their life. They're different points of a journey, and so we all go through them. Whereas the minors are more, I think of those as the day-to-day things that we're going through, the experiences, the feelings that we're having, etc. If you think of the majors as like the points along the road, the minors are the way that we get from those, between those points, so from point A to point B. And so no matter what question you ask, you're always going to be able to get something from the major arcana as to, you know, what's the big energies happening, what's the archetypal thing that I'm going through right now, what do I need to embody, what do I need to release, what do I, you know, what's my strength, what's my weakness, etc. Whereas you can also do it from the minor arcana, you know, what do I need to look at? You can ask the same questions even, what's my strength, what's my weakness? And you're going to get these different flavors basically of reading, but they're answering the same question. So that's my first tip that I would suggest. My second tip, going off questions, is try doing two readings. One reading about something that you really don't care about, and then one about something that you do care about. So the funny thing about this is you're probably going to have a little bit of a struggle coming up with a question to ask about something that you actually don't really care about, because it's like it doesn't really naturally come to mind to ask about something that we don't care about, right? But just try it. And the reason that I'm giving this tip is you'll pick up the energy, how the energy is different if someone is asking a question that they care about versus one that they don't really care about. And the good thing about knowing how to feel a question about that's about something that we don't really care about is that we know that we need to go deeper. So here's my experience. If someone comes in and they ask a question, or even if we do this ourselves with the cards, and we ask a question, and the question that we're asking is about something that we don't actually really care about, and what we really want to know is under the surface, but we don't really want to say that right off the bat, is one of two things tends to happen. The first thing that happens is the reading won't make sense. So a couple of weeks ago, I did a podcast episode on when your readings don't make sense. I would recommend to go back and listen to that if you haven't already. So the reading will just, you'll be reading it and it'll be like, either it won't make sense, the cards together won't make sense, or you'll be reading it to the person and they'll be going, this doesn't make any sense. The other thing that happens is that it's, the energy is really weird and it's like you can't get a flow going with that person and it just doesn't seem to roll. It's like the reading will feel difficult, like you'll be looking at it going, I don't really know what this is. Even if you know all those cards or you have that, you know how they feel, etc., you'll be looking at it and it'll be giving you a blank basically. And it's really good to be able to pick up on what this feels like, what a reading that is about a question that we don't care about feels like, because then you can say, this is to the person that you're reading for, okay, this isn't really making sense, either it's not really making sense to me, or you seem like maybe it's not making a lot of sense to you. Is this really the question that you want to ask about, or is there something underneath this that you're really wondering, but maybe you're a little nervous to say that you're wondering about it, and that's when you can tell people, no judgment, I'm not going to judge what your real question is. Some people, they'll turn around and tell you, well, I didn't really know what to ask, in which case I would go then and switch to, okay, well, why don't we just do a general reading? And here's the thing, you could do a reading, a general reading, say, what's going on right now, and it would still feel like a lot better flow and it would still make a lot more sense than reading about a specific question that the person didn't really care about, that they didn't really want to ask, because the flow is different. And this is a practice in picking up the flow of energy and when the energy feels good and when it doesn't. So if someone really doesn't know what to ask and they're just coming up with a question because they think they have to, tell them, if you really don't have a question, that's okay. We can go a lot more general. We can still do a good reading without it being a specific question. That's completely fine. Or they'll tell you, actually, yeah, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I really want to know. And then you can go, okay, let's read about that, So that's something you could try. The third tip that I have is reading for someone that you don't like. And this I would not recommend you trying to do in person, but doing it basically act it out. So do it for someone, either, you could do it for someone that I guess you think you don't like personally, but I would probably try and pick someone more like a celebrity or something that just, you just don't really like them, because it's not super personal, but you just don't really like them. The point of doing this is to get yourself out of the way, basically. Because if you read for someone and you have an idea that you don't like them, what can happen is that you can't interpret the cards for what they're actually saying. Because here's the thing, your tarot deck doesn't dislike someone. It's a tarot deck, right? It's going to read for that person regardless of how you feel about them, or it should be. If your cards are like taking on your energy of, oh, I like this person but I don't like this person, then you really need to get your own stuff out of the way, because that's going to affect your reading negatively. Because here's the thing, you're going to have people come in if you're doing professional readings, or even if people ask you for readings and you do them, you're going to have people come in that their energy just kind of rubs you the wrong way. Doesn't mean they're a bad person, And here's the other thing, being a reader, you're going to sometimes have people ask you questions about something that you might personally have an issue with. So, someone comes in and they say, I cheated on my boyfriend and I want to know what's going on, what's going to happen, You might have like a kind of inner, ooh, don't like that, I'm going to have this judgment of them. But that person came to you and they still need help, And they're still a person. Like, this is the thing. It's like, people are people and they make mistakes and they do silly things, but they're growing. We're all growing, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So you really got to be able to read for people, even if they tell you something that you don't personally, you know, it's like a thing that you're going, oh, well, that's, I don't like that they cheated on someone, because you also don't know the whole picture of everything else, you know, but you really should be able to read and divorce your own self and feelings from the what you're seeing in the cards. The other thing that comes from reading for someone that you don't like is you kind of start to see things about them and about their experience and their struggle that might surprise you. You know, when we don't like someone, we tend to do, and this is a human thing, it's like we basically make them out to be a monster. We try and make them be less human because then we can dislike them and it's not, we don't feel bad about it. But if we do tarot for them and we see, oh, hang on, they're going through a lot of pain, or they are really struggling with this thing, or this is how they feel about themselves, it kind of makes it where they are, we can't do that so much. We can't make them into a monster because we can see their feelings. We can see their, what's going on for them, and we can relate to it. So I find that this can also really help if you do struggle to kind of like have your feelings set aside for a reading, is to basically like look at people even that you don't like and be able to see what's going on for them. That is like a common human thing. Tarot is great for that. You know, it shows our struggles, it shows our triumphs, it shows our good feelings, it shows our bad feelings, and it equalizes everyone. You know, you can do a reading for your best friend and your worst enemy, and then they could have the same things going on. That's the thing, they could have the same feelings going on. And so it really can teach you to like get your own feelings out of the way to be able to help people more. So I would really recommend trying that as well. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to the ad break, and then when we come back, I'm going to give a couple more little tips, a couple more little things that you could do, and then, yeah, that'll be it. All right, so see you in a minute. Tips on things to help broaden and improve your readings. So the first one that I want to suggest is try asking a group of questions, so maybe 5 questions, maybe 10 questions, and draw one card. Okay, so the idea of this is to help to see cards in different ways and see different perspectives of the same card. So if you ask 10 questions and pull one card, then what you do is you interpret that one card in relation to each of those different questions, and it will help you to see different things about that same card. And also I find that this helps to get over that thing of pulling too many cards. So something that I have heard from tarot readers, where especially people when they're just learning to read, or they're just, you know, practicing and getting confident in reading, is that they pull lots and lots of cards and it makes the reading really confusing. But there's this idea that the more cards you pull, the better the reading is going to be, which is not true. Not necessarily true. I actually find that the less cards you pull, the better the reading, because it's less diffuse and it gets less confusing. If you pull lots and lots of cards to answer a question, it tends to get, in my experience, where the message gets confused, because the cards are usually trying to give you the same message in different ways. especially if you do it like you pull, you know, three cards, you read those cards, you don't really like the answer, so you pull another three cards, and then you keep doing that, and you don't like that answer, so you pull three more, and that's kind of confusing. So you pull three more, you've gone from having three to having 12 cards laid out there, and yet the message might still be the same as those three cards, or it might be trying to give you more information around those cards, but if you didn't, you know, like the answer or whatever it is, then them trying to give you more information on the same thing is going to be confusing. So I find actually keeping continuing pulling over and over actually doesn't really help generally. I'm going to give you another tip in a second in which you can do this, but it is done in a different way. So pull one card, ask these 10 questions first, and pull one card. Then read that one card in relation to all of those different questions. And I am sure that one, it will make sense when you really look at it. Two, probably won't seem to make sense when you first look at it. And three, you'll see different aspects of that same one card. Okay, so you want to pull more cards. You want to, you know, pull lots of cards. How can you do that and it not get confusing? So the next tip is have a conversation with your deck. Okay, so what I do here is I start off the same way I would if I'm doing, you know, a regular reading where to give an example, you know, what do I need to be aware of this week? And I pull three cards and I read those. Then I can say, based on those three cards, okay, what about this? So for example, I pull the Hermit, the Four of Wands, and the Three of Pentacles. Okay, so then I could say, okay, this looks to me like maybe I'm going to be feeling a little bit, you know, shy and a little bit like I want to stay in, but it's encouraging me to go out and get out around people, and then I'm going to meet someone who I can work with, you know, or that I could do a project with. So what do I need to know about this project? What is the project? And then I pull another three cards and read those. You know, maybe it's the Three of Swords, the Sun, and the Nine of Swords. So how I would read that would be, okay, so I'm going to be illuminating some pain. I'm going to be illuminating some wounds that are going on. And maybe I'm going to be seeing how they actually come from anxieties and fears. Maybe I'm going to be seeing, maybe we're going to talk about how anxiety and worrying and things like impact how we feel about things and how we see things. So what can I do with that work? How am I supposed to share that work? What would be the best thing to do? Is this going to be like personal work? Is it going to be, you know, go in my journal work? Or is it going to be, am I supposed to share about it? You know, like what's the work? Where's the best place to share the work? And then I might get the Six of Wands and who else? The Hierophant and the Ten of Cups. Okay, so I would really read that as a community setting. The Hierophant to me is a teacher. Then, what was the first one I said? I don't remember the first card. Six of Wands. And then the Ten of Cups. So the Six of Wands to me is like success. We're going out, we're sharing something, but the main success comes from coming back and sharing what we found, the success we had with our community. Then the Hierophant is the teacher, and then the Ten of Cups is like a happy family harmony between us and others. So either one, you could read that as, okay, this is going to be really helpful in my family. Maybe I can share this with my family. Me and my family can learn to do something a new way. I can teach them something new. Or it could be, you know, community. And so maybe I'm bringing it to my community. Am I going to teach other people about this? Maybe I'm going to help other people about this. Maybe my clients are going to be looking at this and I can help them with that, you know. And then just keep going. So ask, based on the three cards that you just got, ask another question and pull three more cards. Three is just off the top of my head. It's easy. It's not so small as one card where, you know, you only get the very direct message of that one card. But it's not so big that you're then trying to interpret them forever. What this should be is a flowing conversation. So you're going to be pulling the cards, reading them really quickly, seeing the gist of it, and then saying, okay, based on this, what about this? couple more, like you would with a friend. I love doing this with decks. One of my favorite decks to do this with is actually my Sacred Cocoon deck, my Oracle deck, which, quick plug, you can buy in my shop on Etsy, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com, or it's available at the Four of Wands. Anyway, that deck loves when you talk to it. So some people find it to be a little bit sassy, myself included, but it actually starts to warm up a little bit more. It's not warm, because I find it to have a really good sense of humor. It's funny. Like, it helps us to see different things about things. And if we need to just lighten up a little bit, it'll tell us to do that. But I find that it really, like, gets really warm and very soft, and it can be more gentle when you have this kind of conversation going with it. So that's one deck that works really well for it. But you could just do this with, you know, standard right away. Any deck you're going to form a relationship with. So you can really do it with any deck that you like. And it's a really interesting way to use the deck. What else would I suggest? I feel like I had another tip and I just don't remember. let's see. Okay, here's one more thing. And this is really just an interesting practice, I find, but hopefully all of these will be interesting. Ask your deck to show you a card that shows your light and then your dark, or your light and your shadow, your strength, your weakness, whatever. And then use that combination. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it. We put cards on our altar that are meaningful to us, and pay attention to that for the next week. So, you know, maybe do it on a Monday and then change it out on Sunday. And pay attention to how those things come up in your life. Where does the strength come up? Where does the weakness come up? How might you have that strength and show it in a way that you're not thinking of, first of all? How might that weakness be affecting you, say, from a subconscious level that you're not fully, you know, you don't see straight away? This can also be really interesting, because sometimes you'll get cards that seem like they're mixed, they're in the wrong position, but they're actually not. So, you know, you could get, let's take the moon and the sun, right? So people would tend to think, okay, the sun is positive, the moon is negative. We're just reducing it right down. Okay, say you get your strength is the moon and your weakness is the sun. What does that mean? You know, a lot of people go, well, I'll just switch them around. Resist the urge to switch cards around that seem like they're in the wrong place, because they're in the right place. They're showing you something. So we're taking the moon and the sun, right? The moon for strengths. What could that be? So the way I would read that, the moon as a strength could be great imagination, very intuitive, powerful dreams, able to, you know, see a lot of information in dreams, not particularly fast moving. You can be steady. You look at things from different perspectives. The moon can see things in a different light. So where other people might, you know, see it in one way, you can see it in other ways. You go deeper into things. You might have an interest in, you know, the subconscious and be looking at more subconscious things. I would also think of, to me, the moon also makes me think of planets that are cold or have like a cold kind of feeling to them. So the one I really think of with that is Pluto. So if then you look at Pluto, you could bring this into astrology. Where is Pluto in your chart? Like, what sign is Pluto in for you? What's going on with Pluto? Or it could just be embodying the aspects of Pluto. So, you know, Pluto goes deep. It kind of reveals things. It looks at secrets. It's changing things that, in my experience, aren't good for us. It makes us change them. It's kind of like the underworld. Hades is also Pluto. So you can look at mythology, and that's interesting, you know. The sun. If the sun's a weakness, what is that? Okay, well, the sun is really hot. So maybe you burn through things. Maybe you get burnt up really easily. You know, maybe you get burned out. Like, if you think of all the kind of things, colloquialisms we have for burning and heat and things like that, and then think about that in the finger quotes negative sense, you know, maybe you have a bad temper. That could be the sun. Maybe you don't tend to want to look deeply into things, you know, like, you just want to gloss over them. You just want to kind of right away from them, like the child. Maybe you can become childish about things. Maybe you are, I also think of that, you know, it could be looking at things like, where's Leo in your chart? Do you have, what are your issues around Leo? And Leo kind of energy. What else could you have as a weakness for the sun? You could have, what's growing? What do you need to focus on growing? What are you not seeing that's growing? So the child in the sun, at least for the right away, is facing away from the sunflowers. The sunflowers are growing behind them, but if you don't turn around and look at them, you don't see what's growing. So are you complaining about something that, oh, I really want this to happen, but actually you're not really noticing how it already is happening? So do you see what I mean? You can have, both of them have positives and negatives, and it can be a really interesting exercise to pull them and see what comes up. And then to spend the week looking at them can be really good, because you'll start to see them crop up in different places than you might not have really thought of to begin with. So I really enjoy doing that. And then was there something else? Okay, last thing. And this is coming from my guides. They're saying, pull a card for how your guide sees you, and then pull a card for how you see yourself. This can be really interesting, because your guide, for one, your guide loves you unconditionally, so they're going to see the best in you. You, as a human, might have the tendency, as I think the vast majority of us do, to be really hard on yourself and see yourself in a negative light. But doing this, you can really start to see how, if you had unconditional love for yourself, or someone that does have unconditional love for you, how do they see you? What qualities do they see in you? And then that can really help you to have confidence. So for example, you know, you might get, let's take the Eight of Wands is how your guide sees you, and you see yourself as the Knight of Pentacles. Okay, those are two wildly different cards to each other. Okay, so you see yourself as kind of plodding, maybe a little boring, you know, like you kind of take your time to get going on things, etc. Like, you want to be quicker, you think you need to go faster, people keep telling you you need to go faster, you get down on yourself about being kind of slow and steady. Your guides see you as goal orientated, so they're saying, no, you being slow and steady is completely fine, because you're actually aiming for your goal and you're keeping things clear for yourself. You're not adding 3 million different things, you know, it's not the Seven of Cups, you've not got your attention split in 10 different places, or 7 different places, I guess. You know, you're focused. The Eight of Wands is going for the goal, hitting the goal. We're completely going for it. So they see you in that light. But what if you get a card that traditionally is, finger quotes, negative, and you get a card for yourself is, finger quotes, positive? So what if your guides give you the card, the Four of Pentacles, and your card is the Lovers? Okay, so you might think of yourself as, you know, if we just take a very basic idea of the Lovers, as being very romantic, you're very giving, you're very loving, you're very you know, passionate, you are good at making choices, maybe you're good at making decisions, you know, that kind of thing. But your guides give you the Four of Pentacles. Okay, so how do we, first of all, our guides will give us guidance on things that we can improve. So you can interpret that Four of Pentacles as, you know, we give to other people as a lover, but we don't give to ourselves. Or we have one thing that we think we should be stuck to, that we think this should be what I'm doing, what I want, so this is what I'm going to allow myself for all of time, when actually there's other opportunities for things that we could take, you know, and give to ourselves or receive for ourselves. The Four of Pentacles is also quite closed off, so it's like, well, maybe we need to, they see it as, we need to be more open, we need to be, yeah, we might be very romantic and loving, but maybe we're not taking that to, you know, we're giving it to someone else, but we're not receiving it for ourselves, so we need to be looking at that. Maybe there's more opportunities for us to receive more love out there. for us to receive more, you know, more money. If it's pentacles, it's part of what it looks like is money. Maybe they're showing us something to do with our idea about money. But we can also look at it from a positive standpoint. So if we look at the Four of Pentacles, this you might have to do without the book, because a lot of books, especially the older ones, will just be very negative about this card, and I hate that, because I think all cards have positive and negative. What's the positive of the Four of Pentacles? All right, I would say that the Four of Pentacles is very grounded. It's the number four, so it's very stable and sturdy. It's the square. And then the person on the card has all of their bases covered with pentacles, so they're grounded. They're grounded in thought, they're grounded in heart, they're grounded in their feet. They're very grounded and steady. Maybe they are setting themselves to their ideal of what they want to create rather than what other people want them to create. So, you know, you see the Four of Pentacles, they're sitting in front of like a cityscape, but they're removed from it. So maybe what your guides are showing there is you're really good at being able to shut out what other people are telling you to do and focusing on what you want to do and keeping that forefront in your mind, forefront in every part of you, in your hands, etc. So again, could be quite goal orientated. It could be that you don't get carried away with like frivolous things, you know, you don't, you're not in the hustle and bustle of the town in the background. You're out there kind of on your own and you're steady. So, you know, that's a positive you could read for the Four of Pentacles. So that's something that I would really recommend to try as well. I recommend doing this with guides because they are unconditionally loving and they don't have any human stuff that's weighing them down. So you can do this for other people. You know, you could do this for like, how does my partner see me versus how do I see me? And, you know, your partner is, they still love you, they're still being very loving, but they also have the human things that, you know, they might be annoyed about something, or they might not see a part of you, or they might be still learning about something. They might be having a hard time understanding some certain part, or they might be thinking about one thing very, very strongly and so not seeing something else. So sometimes, you know, our partners love us, and if you have, you know, I really hope you have a wonderful relationship where your partner sees the absolute best in you and brings it out of you and loves you unconditionally. I hope you have that because it's wonderful. But you kind of don't know, and you also don't know if, you know, if they're having a bad day and they're thinking like, and they're kind of grumpy and you didn't do the dishes, and then they're annoyed that you didn't do the dishes. That's a really human thing. Doesn't mean that your relationship is in danger. No. But could you pull a card that's like shows that frustration? You could potentially. So that's why, you know, if you do it for someone else, your partner, your child, your parent, your coworker, whatever, your friend, just keep in mind that they are also human, and so they are coming at it from a human perspective, and they've got their own emotions going on there. So I'm going to call it at that today. Try and keep this, you know, in a nice time zone. I've realized that doing them too long, I need to be stricter with myself and keep them to a good length. So I feel like that's what we're at right now. So just to finish off, where you can find me at, I think this is a good thing to do as a reminder. So you can book readings with me either on Etsy, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com, or through Instagram or Facebook. So Instagram is at thesacredcocoon. Facebook is also thesacredcocoon. You can find me at the Four of Wands in Fayetteville on Fridays and Saturdays. What was I going to say there? I don't remember. Yeah, Fridays and Saturdays, I am there reading tarot, giving spiritual guidance. Just a quick reminder that if you have business questions, I now have a reading or a session available for that in the shop. We can also do that at the Four of Wands if you mention it to me. I have spiritual guidance on my thing, but I don't have on my menu, but I don't have it specifically written like that because it needs updating. So if you want to do that, let me know. Anything else? I don't really think so. So I'm sending you so much love, and I will talk to you next week. Bye now.